Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline now and welcome MLS Commissioner Don Garber to the show. He was in town last week to check out the new digs for Austin FC and help promote the start of the season. And he's nice enough to join us for a few minutes. Don, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's great to be down here. You know, there's been so many things that haven't been great in 2020, but this is one of the great days in 2021.
No doubt about that, and I guess you just got your first walk through the new stadium. What are your initial thoughts on what you saw over on the north side of Austin?
Well, it really represents everything that we hoped it would. You know, it's beautifully designed. It's got terrific fan amenities to it. It's very smart and thoughtful in how it came together. Very open, sort of feels like you're in your backyard, which I know is such a cool part of Austin's character. But this backyard, it won't just be a great, you know, bar and great food. It'll also have some great MLS soccer.
Talking with MLS Commissioner Don Garber. And Don, in terms of any other stadiums in the MLS, for fans that are familiar with the league, is there anything that this stadium is patterned after? Are there other stadiums where, you know, that maybe they tried to get some aspects of in Austin?
You know, it's a really good question. I mean, it has the same designer as our LAFC stadium in Los Angeles. But, you know, what I think is so smart in how the ownership and staff helped to design the stadium is it really represents the city of Austin and what Austin means to all of its citizens. And that's what great stadiums do. You know, you want them just not to be, you know, a big bowl that has, you know, an opportunity and showcase, you know, great competition on the field, but also have design and experiences and fan engagement that connects, you know, the team and its stadium with what matters in the community. And they did a really good job in that better than I had expected. So hats off to them.
You've talked a lot about why Austin made sense for an MLS franchise. It has a young population. It has a population that is hip to the times. Obviously, a boom town as well, with the number of people seemingly moving in to this city on a daily basis. What makes Austin unique, though, versus the other 26 cities that house Major League franchises?
Well, you just gave me a great answer to your question. I mean, I think you laid it out perfectly. You know, Austin has always been viewed by anybody in our country as this really cool and special, culturally relevant city on the rise. And that's kind of how we like to think of Major League Soccer. You know, we're a league for a new America. Demographically, our fans are very different than other fan bases in the other professional leagues. You know, we have a very digital first audience that, you know, shares and watches their content via digital means more so than as a percentage than other sports leagues do. There's a great food culture here. And, you know, when you think about soccer or global football, you know, it's about food, it's about family, it's about shared experiences. And that's really Austin's character as well. So, you know, really is a perfect marriage.
Don, in terms of what you've seen with Austin FC, you've obviously been commissioner for the addition of a lot of teams, and you just mentioned how digital the fan base is and how interactive they are. Talk about the reaction that you've seen since the announcement, since the groundbreaking of the stadium, and now we're closing in on the start of the season and ultimately that first home game. Has the reaction from Austin been what you guys wanted?
It has been what we wanted, and frankly, it succeeded. And you know, there's nothing better than over-delivering on your promises, right? I remember my first conversations with Mayor Adler and other city leaders and, you know, a group of corporate leaders that came together many years ago, even before we were thinking about Austin FC and the team and its current iteration. And, you know, they just said, this is the perfect market for you guys. You know, we don't have a Division I professional major league here in town. We obviously have a very, very passionate supporter fan base for UT, but you know, we're ready. And what have they done? You know, we have, you know, sold out all our season tickets. You got 14,000 season ticket people on a second season ticket waiting list. You know, we over delivered on the corporate support with Q2 and with Yeti. I'm actually on my way to the Yeti flagship store as we speak. A great jersey sponsor and a great brand marriage for this club and even for Major League Soccer. By the way, I'm a big outdoor guy, so I brought my credit card. I'm going to shop heavily at the Yeti store.
Hey, speaking of the season ticket holders, the home opener obviously is not until June. Considering what happened in Arlington just a couple of days ago with the Rangers opening a new stadium with 100% capacity, and considering that COVID seems to be trending in the right direction, are you cautiously optimistic that Austin FC might be able to welcome 100% fan capacity for that season opener, for that home opener?
Well, you know, we're doing this very thoughtfully, and, you know, we don't have to make that decision today. You know, they'll make that decision, you know, weeks from now or sometime in May. And, you know, listen, it's good to be a follower here as opposed to a leader and see how it all plays out, you know, throughout the state of Texas and frankly, throughout the rest of the country. I'm certainly hopeful that we could have as many fans as possible here and in Houston and Dallas, and that we have, you know, two teams in Florida, which has lifted restrictions similar to the way they've done in Texas, and we look forward to seeing a lot of fans in those states. But listen, I'm an optimist by nature, and as difficult as COVID-19 was for all of pro sports and for our league, you know, I just am hopeful that, you know, we have a fully vaccinated population and people are comfortable getting back to a semblance of normalcy and getting back into stores and restaurants and getting back to pro sports venues and college sports venues.
What do you think you'll need to see to feel comfortable signing off on this idea that Austin FC might be able to open with 100% capacity?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't have a specific answer to that. You know, again, it's a little bit of dodging the timing of it because we've got work to do as we launch our season on the 17th to see how things are rolling out across the country. But, you know, you want to see a fully supported relationship with the, you know, the health community here in the state, and you want to see people feeling comfortable about getting back to some semblance of normalcy and attending events, and you want to see the continued reduction in positives here, as we are seeing here in this part of Texas and throughout the state. All those things play very well for what we hope to see in order to make that decision.
Talking with MLS Commissioner Don Garber. And Don, today on the way into work, I could see the stadium, and you drive that certain way on 183, and it's a beautiful shot. For the people that are listening right now, they're soccer fans, maybe their kids have been in soccer, they've been in soccer, they've heard about it, but they're not fully committed, or they haven't gotten that ticket yet. What would you tell them about MLS coming to town? You've seen a lot of growth in the sport and a lot of growth in the league. You always knew this was a town you thought would work. Tell them about the MLS and what they're going to get if they go to Q2.
You know, let's start with, you know, there's an enormous fan base here generally. You know, Austin, I don't know if you know this, but Austin trends at the highest of any city in the country on watching soccer on television, MLS soccer, women's soccer, you know, World Cup soccer. So we have a built-in fan base. But what you really want are people to really believe in this club and what those two oaks mean to them and how this club is connected in the community. You're going to go into a stadium that's going to be one of the great new buildings in any sport and anywhere in the world, and you're going to see an environment that's going to be just entirely unprecedented. A supporter section where you're really, really close to the play. You're going to see noise and drums and music in ways that you don't see in other sporting venues, particularly here in town. It's going to be a life experience. And you know, when we built a new stadium in Kansas City for what a team called Sporting Kansas City, you had a fan base that wasn't as mature and wasn't necessarily as connected with the club. And you put them in a state-of-the-art facility, and that team has sold out every game since that new building has been built many years ago. So it's going to be really cool.
I imagine you can envision Austin FC fans marching from a bar or a restaurant in that domain area down to the stadium too, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And you're going to see Houston Dynamo fans and FC Dallas fans, you know, driving across the state to try to come to Austin as well. That's one thing that, you know, your first question, you know, you don't see that quite as much in the other sports. You might see it during the playoffs or during, you know, the championship games. But, you know, you're going to see people traveling across the state to support their local club and have them hopefully get that big push against Austin FC. And you're going to see Austin fans traveling to Houston and Dallas. And we see this, you know, throughout our league, and it's really cool. Really, really cool.
All right, Matthew McConaughey is not only the unofficial mayor of Austin and unofficial mayor of the University of Texas, he is also part owner of Austin FC. You actually were a part of a discussion with Matthew during South by Southwest this year. Matthew is obviously an ideas guy. Has he given you any ideas that you are now considering for the MLS?
Yeah, you know, listen, what people here in Austin know Matthew well, but, you know, the general population thinks of him as this, you know, the Oscar-winning actor. And Matthew's a really, really smart, creative guy who understands brands and understands culture, as we all know, here in town. And, you know, Matthew's got an idea in it. A lot of it is about the community and how this team could be connected in the community and mean something from day one. A lot of it was about the brand. I mean, he was involved in creating this brand name, about creating the logo, about creating the colors, and all those things sort of came out of this very, very fertile and open creative mind. And I've been really, really impressed with him. And, you know, I'm excited about when you have an owner that's a celebrity, you know, to not just lend their name to a project, not just put some money into it because it's a good investment, but actually put their time and effort and creativity behind it. And that's what he's done. I really enjoyed talking to him. Matthew's a really great guy.
Well, it's impressive also looking at your resume, taking over the league in 1999 and all the different things you've done in that time, from television rights to expanding the league. And I didn't realize that you would actually come over to the MLS from the NFL. You were the director of marketing before you became the league's senior vice president of business development. What were you able to bring from the NFL and apply pretty immediately to MLS that has allowed this league to thrive so many years later?
Well, you know, it's three things, right? And the last job I had there is I launched their international division, and I tell this great story about when we had a league in Europe, you know, trying to teach people about the game of gridiron football that they call in Europe, or American football, they call it around the world. And, you know, it was really hard. And they've done a really great job with the sort of the expansion and the exposure of NFL football and throughout Europe and Asia and South America, certainly in Mexico, with regular season games being played. But back when I was doing it, you know, you had to translate the game into a culture where it wasn't, you know, it was considered quintessentially foreign. And I came into the soccer world where, you know, I didn't have to teach people about the sport. It already had a great history. The World Cup was popular in 94. The NASL had sort of set the stages for the pro game many, many years ago, particularly here in Texas. But as a marketing guy, you know, my job was to take the helmets off the players and, you know, put flags on kids to have them play the game without having to play tackle football. And that's antithetical here in Texas. But, you know, around the country, fewer and fewer people were playing the game that way. And now so many kids play, you know, flag football and touch football. And that was a big part of what my role was. And I came into MLS. It was a marketing challenge, but it also was an infrastructure challenge. We didn't have all but one stadium that was built in 98 in Columbus, the year before I joined. And today now, you know, over 20 new buildings, and all of them sort of connected into the community and cool buildings that represent, you know, the culture of a city. And, you know, listen, the sports marketing business is not much different in this sport than it is in other sports. You know, there's a whole cottage industry of people learning how to market and brand and communicate and broadcast in new and unique ways things that will have people care about your sport and your players and your team. And that's kind of what I've been doing the last 22 years.
Well, Don, you've been killing it in that time, too. I mean, you are annually recognized as one of the top sports execs in America and around the world. And I can't help myself but to ask highly successful people this question, because success always involves failure, because failure means that you are not only going through life's trials and tribulations, but you're also learning lessons throughout that process as well. So is your biggest quote-unquote failure trying to spread football internationally, considering that most everybody else was so focused on soccer at that point in time? And if so, what was that valuable lesson that you learned from that experience?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, you can't move forward unless you look backwards in times and understand both the challenges and the trials and tribulations and the failures of the past, so that you don't make the same, you know, mistakes over and over again. You know, I think in my NFL days, I was a young guy, and there was so much support around you, and you had so much leverage. I mean, think of where the NFL is today with the record media deals just from a few weeks ago, a huge data deal that they just did the other day, and, you know, Super Bowl records, you know, it's ubiquitous. It's sort of like, you know, your family and the church, so to speak. So I remember Paul Tagliabue telling me when I left, you're going to see what life is like without leverage. And I think without having the power of a strong brand behind you, you've got to be more creative. You've got to be more innovative. You've got to take risks. You have to think about developing ideas outside the box. You know, we went through my first couple of years where we folded a couple of teams. We had one owner own multiple teams. And, you know, you just got to keep your head down and keep focused and have faith in the idea and this idea that America and Canada deserve, you know, a top flight professional soccer league. And we've stayed focused on that. And we stayed focused on that during 2020, which was not easy. And as long as you have that focus, you know, you'll be successful, even if you get knocked around a bit. But that's what makes it so much sweeter when you come out of a great stadium, you know, tour today. And I remember that being a piece of dirt and an idea just a couple of years ago. So what could be better than that?
I love the idea of taking calculated risks. Is there a collective calculated risk that the league is taking right now, other than obviously expanding into a market like Austin?
Yeah, I would say, listen, the Austin team was not that risky, right? It, you know, that the fact that we were able to get the right owner and get Mayor Adler and his political, you know, leaders supportive, and you got a great sponsors, you know, Q2 and Yeti, getting them to believe, you know, was not easy. But, you know, I wouldn't say that that's the biggest challenge that that we have. I think when I think back at what those challenges are, it's trying to, you know, to break through, you know, particularly in the state of Texas, where you have traditional sports that have such deep cultural history, you know, family legacies, and that sharing a special game or a special moment or a special experience with your family around the Thanksgiving table or around the Christmas table or, you know, around what I love to say, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You know, you remember the wins as much as you remember the losses. And without having a deep history, you've got to create all of that without having, you know, legacy behind you. And someday somebody will look back and say, I'm not going to be doing this forever. And they'll look back at these years as being the formative foundational years, and they'll be able to ride the next generation, the 2.0 of MLS. We'll have a World Cup here in 2026, and I'm sure you've got at least two cities that are looking to be, you know, World Cup hosting cities. There's going to be an enormous ramp up in our league and in the women's game and in the international game to try to build on all of that excitement for the world's biggest sporting event. You're going to get governments, state and local governments, and federal government involved in ensuring that America and Canada and Mexico are ready for the World Cup. And all that is going to be perhaps to finish this, the leverage that we didn't have in the past, but maybe that will be the leverage that we'll have to be able to build this league into being one of the top leagues in the world.
Oh, very well said. And last question, Don. You started this conversation off by talking about the great food here in Austin. One of the reasons why I am excited to visit Q2, on top of the soccer, of course, and how it looks like a really cool stadium, is getting to grub on some Valentina's barbecue in the process. Have you had the opportunity to taste some of their brisket just yet?
You know, not yet. You know, I've been here a lot, and I would be – it's shameful that I can't list the three or four places that I've been to. I will say I have been to Valentina's. I haven't been here – there recently. It's probably been 2 years, but I know that it's, I mean, I'm a foodie by heart, and this is such a foodie town, right? So what could be better, right? And I know there's going to be a lot of really cool, you know, things going on there. I mean, they've got a great, great setup. You know, I think it's called the Austin City Market. It's really cool.
He is MLS Commissioner Don Garber. He has been in town to help kick off the inauguration of Austin FC. Commish, congratulations on getting this whole thing going. This town is really excited about it, and I know you guys are as well.
Great. Thank you, and thanks for spending the time with us. It was a great interview. I had fun.